Good morning. As our consideration of the Word of God today, we read from Matthew 8, beginning at verse 5. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you." And his servant was healed that same hour. Is it possible for us to surprise Jesus by what we say or do? Well, not now. Not when he is the Lord who knows everything, even before it happens. But what if we take this back during the time of his earthly life, during his state of humiliation? What we read in Matthew 8 had something so unusual that it did surprise Jesus. He marveled at it. A Roman army captain had come to the Lord for help. That wasn't so unusual, given the fact that Jesus had quite a reputation for helping desperate people in miraculous ways. But the way this man acted in such humility and also with such confidence, well, that's the way the disciples should have acted toward Jesus, but they weren't. That's how the Jewish people should have responded to the Messiah. Here's the surprise. The shining example of how to approach Christ and depend on him effectively was nowhere to be found except in the heart of a Gentile soldier driven by Christian faith. He must have known, at least to a point, things that we know about Jesus. He must have known that Jesus of Nazareth, a village just a few miles away or so, was the Almighty Lord with power and authority over everything. That's the great truth to take away from this account or any account of the miracles that Jesus did. As Lord God, he has supreme authority over every negative in life. Blindness, leprosy, paralysis, cancer, any possible ailment that could afflict you or a person close to you. As Lord God, he has the final say over a storm on the Sea of Galilee or a tornado in the state of Texas. Likewise, he has divine authority to bring a permanent end to every kind of disturbance, every violent tragedy, or natural disaster. Yes, he gets to even overrule the death of his friend Lazarus twice, and the death of your departed grandparents someday, or the death of you and me, if that's going to happen before he comes back. So knowing what we know about Christ And that includes the decisive victory of his death and resurrection. Can't we be like the Roman centurion? Can't we depend on the same authority to be on our side and work for our benefit? There's no question that Jesus wants to help us. That's his loving nature. There's no question that Jesus has the power to help us. The only question really is a matter of when. Will it be now, soon, with some blessing that he gives in answer to our prayers? Or will it be, ultimately, on the last day, when he brings that perfect, decisive deliverance? We learn to leave it up to him as we go to him in our prayers. For example, are there things so daunting, problems too big for us to solve, a health issue perhaps in your life or that of a loved one? Be like the Roman centurion. Take it to the Lord with the same humility, knowing that you too are unworthy because of your own sins. But please go with the same confidence, knowing who the Lord is and how the authority of his grace is going to work. Let's include the spiritual at the top of the list. Are there sins that keep coming back in your life? Commandments you keep breaking? Guilt that you can do nothing about? By all means, take that to Jesus, the only one authorized to shoulder the burden of all our sins. Take it all to the cross, pay off our entire debt with God, and bring about an exchange where his perfect righteousness replaces your sin as the sinless status and standing that you have with God day to day. Isn't that the most beneficial authority that Jesus has? To bring about the forgiveness of our sins with God, from God, and to overrule everything attached to those sins, like death and hell. He overrules it with resurrection from the grave one day, perfect healing of our body and soul, immortality and endless joy in our face-to-face life with God. That's our future, promised to us. In the meantime, he says with authority, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. He who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. We pray. Lord Jesus, lead us to depend on you for all that we need, to turn to you for every blessing, to trust your every promise, and to follow your every word as you continue to be Lord of our hearts and Lord of our lives. Amen. Let us close this morning with hymn 537, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. Stanzas 2, 3, and 4, hymn 537.